We've been doing temperature-related research for quite some years now, and what we found is that by using temperature or by getting people hot, we can actually get some quite fascinating health benefits. And some of them are very similar to the health benefits that you get through exercise training. So we've been starting to look into more detail with that particular project here, where we look at how do we have to apply the temperature, what parts of the body need to get hot in order for us to get these health benefits.
And who?
So the populations that we think this could be of most benefit to are the populations that can't exercise regularly. So as a result, they are at a higher risk of chronic disease. They are at a higher risk of getting diabetes or cardiovascular disease, die of a stroke, for example. So another reason that using temperature as an intervention could be of benefit to them, because we know that the temperature in isolation without the need to exercise can have a positive impact on those diseases. So the heat benefits patients in various ways. So one aspect, obviously, if we get hot, all our tissues get hot, our muscles get hot, and that can trigger those tissues to release substances that we know are beneficial to health. So for example, inflammatory substances can be released as a result of that heat. Also, if you get hot, your body starts to sweat, you start to expend a little bit more energy, your heart has to pump more, and all those aspects. There are also, or in a more exaggerated way, we find that when we exercise. So some of the things that we find during exercise are actually replicated on a lower level when we increase people's body temperature.
So in this study, we really tried to find a more tolerable alternative form of passive heating that can still induce part of the benefits that we see after more traditional forms of passive heating, like the sauna or hot baths. So we do this by using a so-called water-perfused suit, where we can manipulate the temperature of different parts of the body, so we can use a bit more localized forms of heating. And what we do then is to investigate the effects of that intervention on things like blood flow, inflammatory markers, but also glucose metabolism.
Excellent.
Yeah, so this form of passive heating is mainly interesting, I think, for the ones who struggle to reach the physical activity guidelines, so to get enough exercise in to get all the health benefits of that intervention. So we really focus on the lower end of the physical capacity spectrum. And especially for those people who don't meet these guidelines, this can be either a top-up or an alternative for exercise. So the guidelines in general for the able-bodied population there's 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity exercise. But recently at the Peter Harrison, in collaboration with universities from Canada, Holland and Scandinavia as well, we've made physical activity guidelines specifically for people with a spinal cord injury, for example. So these specific guidelines might still be challenging for those people because of physical barriers in terms of the physical capacity, but also barriers in the environment that maybe prevents them from going to the gym or going out for a ride in their wheelchair or in a handbike. And for those people, this might be an alternative. So we see in exercise, for example, that part of the health benefits of an exercise session is actually from getting hot, so the body gets warm whilst you exercise, and that induces certain processes, increases the concentrations of inflammatory markers that we think are beneficial for health. That is partly driven by the increase in body temperature. So what we now try to do basically is try to take the increase in body temperature out of the equation of exercise and try to increase people's body temperature passively by a hot bath or sauna and try to induce these similar responses. So what we see indeed after a session of hot water immersion, for example, is that the concentration of these proteins, these inflammatory proteins that we think are beneficial for health, they indeed go up like we see, maybe not always to a similar extent, but like we see after exercise.
What is the benefit?
Yeah, so in this study where we look at a more local form of passive heating, we use a water-perfused suit to induce an increase in body temperature. And what we do, we first have people rested on a bed, and we take measures of blood flow in the arteries of the leg and the arm, and we look at cardiac function, also cardiac output, stroke volume, and we take a blood sample to look at resting measures of these inflammatory markers and glucose, insulin, and after these resting measures, people get into the suit, so we try to heat them up. And after that, we take again these same measures. We look at these inflammatory markers in the blood, but also we perform an oral glucose tolerance test, and that's a test basically to assess people's glucose tolerance. So people drink a really sweet drink, and after that we take blood samples at regular intervals, and we can see how well people deal with that glucose load. So yeah, the findings of this study, they are more like proof of principle studies, more in the able-bodied populations, but eventually we aim to translate this research into larger scale chronic interventions using passive heating to really promote health in populations that need it the most. So we have people with a disability, the elderly, or people with chronic diseases that prevent them from engaging in exercise. So that would eventually be the aim of this work. Yeah, so eventually the long-term impact of this work is, I think, if we can have guidelines, like evidence-based passive heating guidelines for these populations that are restricted from engaging in exercise, then we can really make an impact to the health, especially cardiometabolic health of these populations. And we still stimulate exercise where possible. That should always be the first option. But if it's not possible, then this might be an alternative for these populations. So the people, I think, who would benefit the most from this alternative health intervention are those that are restricted from engaging in exercise. So we have, for example, people with severe disabilities, the elderly, who are sometimes frailty might be an issue in these populations. They might struggle with their balance and therefore are restricted to engage in exercise, or there are certain health conditions that prevent people from engaging in exercise. And for those people, it can be really, it could be a useful alternative. So the people with most benefit from this type of health intervention are the ones who are restricted from engaging in exercise, I think. So we have people, for example, with severe disability, the elderly, a frail elderly who might struggle with their balance to engage in exercise. We've got morbidly obese people who might also struggle with these same issues, or certain chronic diseases might interfere with exercise engagement. And for those people, yeah, the passive heating might form an alternative so that people, yeah, they can't exercise, but they can still, by this alternative strategy, get some of the benefits in terms of cardiometabolic health, vascular health, and in that way they have a strategy that they can use to prevent or alleviate the symptoms of cardiovascular disease and for example, type 2 diabetes.